Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio Petersburg. I'm Matt Lichtenstein with KFSK News for Friday, February 24th, 2012. We have a special program for you today. Our guest by phone from Juneau is Governor Sean Parnell, who made himself available for an interview today. Governor, and hopefully we've got the technical issues working here, and let me make sure that we can hear you there. Governor, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, great.
I can hear your voice.
Okay, good. Okay, well, we've got the governor here on the phone, as folks can hear. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you bet. Happy to be with you. Thanks, Matt.
Well, I wanted to focus, since we have this opportunity, on a bunch of different local issues as much as possible,
sure.
Or at least Southeast issues. And the first thing I want to do is start with a local issue that's been prominent in the news lately, and that's the concerns over service from the district attorney's office in Juneau. A take-home message from locals at a town hall meeting on the issue this week was a need for more staffing so that the office, or whichever office covers Petersburg, could devote more time to the community and cases in Petersburg, as well as other communities in Southeast Alaska. And I guess the question there is, would you consider or will you consider increasing the number of prosecutors in Southeast or possibly statewide? It sounds like Petersburg's not the only town that has this issue.
Well, of course we will. But first, let's get back to the real issue. I mean, one is that Petersburg residents deserve good service from the Department of Law, and certainly, you know, throughout the criminal justice system. So, want to make sure that happens. That's partly why Rick Svobodny, our top criminal attorney in the Department of Law, came to be a part of the town meeting to hear those concerns. I have been in communication a number of times and heard from Mayor Dwyer as well, and spoke with him this morning on these issues and learned that, you know, there were some progress was made in the town meeting, and we need to make some more progress. So I heard a couple concerns. One is that police, you know, want a chance to consult with the prosecutor before a case is dismissed, and certainly there is reason to do that in certain cases, and I want to make sure that the prosecutor is doing that. You know, they've actually agreed on some procedural mechanisms by which there can be better cooperation between the district attorney and the police. But you asked about a new prosecutor, and that's certainly something we're willing to consider. I promised the mayor that I would raise the issue with the attorney general and raise it to his level to make sure that Petersburg gets the service that's necessary and that you deserve.
Okay, and I wanted to ask about, as far as what Deputy Attorney General Svobodny mentioned, is that if new prosecutors were, or a new prosecutor was provided, or money for one was provided, he would have to look on a statewide level as a statewide official as to where the need was greatest. And I guess the issue is, it sounds to me in hearing statistics about other areas of the state that the need is great in a lot of places. And so I guess it might take more than just one person for Juneau, but also other places as well, to be fair. And is that on a broader scale that when you say that you would consider this issue, is it something you'll be looking at on a broader scale?
Well, certainly. But, you know, there are, in terms of focusing in on the issues, you know, right at home at Petersburg, there are a number of ways that issue can be addressed. One of them certainly would be additional help in the prosecutor's office. The mayor and city manager, you know, suggested another opportunity, and that might be that, you know, perhaps our Department of Law could work with local police departments in Southeast to help them better understand what the prosecutors need to make their cases and make sure they get it in the form that really helps out. So this is a common problem among prosecutors and law enforcement, you know, across our state and indeed across our country. If they're not on the same page about things, then typically justice doesn't prevail, and we want to make sure it does. So I wanted the community to know that I am raising this to the highest levels in the Department of Law to try to get some resolution.
Well, also, I'm sure you're very familiar, I know, with your own Choose Respect campaign against domestic violence and sexual assault, and we had a little news out of Petersburg in terms of your choice of posters for the campaign for a local student who produced that poster, Diane Murph. And your wife was here promoting that, and I wanted to touch on that as one of the members of the public who spoke during the meeting earlier in this week. made a point of raising that campaign in the spirit of that campaign, and talking about the concerns, the needs for more support from the prosecutor's office, and one question along those lines is: does that campaign itself have money or provide money to help support prosecution of domestic violence cases, or is that something you're looking at?
It doesn't. It doesn't at this point. Money for prosecution of these cases would come directly through the Department of Law's budget, but certainly that's an opportunity. I've got to tell you, I'm very proud of Diane Murph for stepping forward as a sophomore at Petersburg High School, and I know that when I had the chance to speak with her by video conference and let her know that she had won that, I just told her I was proud of her for stepping forward in that way. And you've got a great group of high schoolers there, a great group of Vikings who are willing to step forward and choose respect, and certainly an initiative that knows no bounds in terms of what's possible. And if that's if bringing more prosecution to bear in Petersburg and points beyond would help in that enforcement piece of combating domestic violence and sexual assault, it certainly can be counted as part of that initiative.
Another state service that's been an issue in Petersburg in the past, and I think to a certain extent continues to be a concern, is the Office of Children's Services, and that office has also been spread relatively thin over the state. And in Petersburg, you might be familiar, one staffer covers Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake, a large area. Local social service and emergency providers, I know, were glad that you included that position in your budget and that it was rehired, but they've also said that one person is not enough to serve the needs of all three communities, and there used to be two staffers. Is that something you can look at, or something that you're willing to consider or address the needs of possibly increasing staffers, again, not just in Petersburg, but elsewhere where services might be spread thin for OCS?
Of course. You know, that's Office of Children's Services is such a critical piece of safeguarding our children and making sure that they get placed in foster care when needed and reunited with families when appropriate. And one of the things I would urge your listeners to do is if they have concerns about funding, as you've just spoken to, this is really the time to get with your legislators, with your representative and senator, and let them know, because they have the ability to put additional funding in the budget. I've set a spending limit to make sure that we responsibly spend state resources and save back some money for when oil prices are not so high, or when production continues declining without oil tax reform. But bottom line is, this is a great moment for you all to have a say in the legislative budget process if you will contact your Senator Stebbins and Representative Wilson as well.
772-3808 is the number to call if you'd like to ask a brief question or make a brief comment to the governor. Today we have him here on KFSK. He's made himself available for an interview during Midday Magazine. And we'll be rebroadcasting this interview a little later today as well. It won't be live then, though. So if you do have a question you'd like to call in, give a call at 772-3808. Governor, as far as one of the things I think I wanted to touch on, of course, is education. And you mentioned about having residents, you know, let their legislators know what they want or what they need or funding, that sort of thing. In terms of education, Petersburg's school board, a lot of parents and other folks have come out pretty strongly in support of Senate Bill 171, I believe, which is passed the Senate 18-2, increases the base amount. I know you've come out with some opposition to that bill, saying calling it recently, I believe, the ultimate giveaway. And maybe you could explain your position on the bill.
You bet. First off, I put in full funding of the K-12 formula in my budget. I put forth the equivalent of a $300 BSA increase into the teacher's retirement system unfunded liability. We needed an extra $75 million of money there. And then when it came to the BSA increase, I decided it was time to have a genuine public discussion about whether automatic increases with really no accountability for the money was appropriate. So, for example, that vote you referenced, the vote in the Senate to automatically increase the base student allocation across the next 3 years, that effectively obligates Alaskans to $500 million, half a billion dollars in the next 6 years, with no improvements stated or required. So, for example, really what I'm looking for is a discussion with school boards about in 6 years from now, after we spend $500 million more dollars on the base student allocation, in addition to, you know, the $2 billion we're already spending, in addition to the money we're already spending, what improvement in graduation rates will there be across the state? That's the kind of discussion I'm looking to have. So I've already committed to funding increases to education. It's a question of how we do it. And I think that discussion is really important, because with these automatic increases, legislators do not look each year at what the public is getting for its own money if it's an automatic increase. Instead, they just look to our Office of Management Budget and they say, how much is that formula increase? And they say it's X dollars, and they write a check for X dollars. I really wanted the discussion to occur. What are we expecting as a state in terms of benefit to our kids for this extra $500 million? And I think that's a legitimate discussion. Certainly by the end of session, we'll have more increases built into the education budget. But I felt it very important to have this discussion in terms of providing a better education for our kids.
Well, we have a phone call, and I think it is regarding this issue. So I'm going to go ahead and let our caller call in. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Jim Schwartz. Welcome, Governor.
Thanks.
And I appreciate you making yourself available. I'm a school board member here, and we just had a chance to go to Juneau and speak with a number of legislators and recognize that, listening to your comment there, about how your goal is to have a discussion about what are we going to gain. And I was curious, you know, there's never been a discussion from your side of what gains have you seen in the last, since 2007, we had invested that money. And do you have any evidence at all to show that there is some gains? And we're coming from Petersburg, and we have probably some of the highest scores in Alaska, and we feel like we're doing a good job of trying to become accountable, and we've reduced our expenses to meet resources, and now we're feeling really threatened by the increasing costs and the uncertain financial support from the state.
Jim, let the governor respond.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much, because I'm the son of an educator. My mom was a teacher for about 26 years in the Anchorage School District. I very much appreciate teachers and the administration and staff and what they go through every day. So this isn't about school board members or teachers or in terms of any kind of concern there. The concern really is, what kind of education are we going to provide for our kids across the next 5 or 6 years for $500 million more dollars? And I wanted to point out to Jim that indeed there's been improvement, and I'm really thankful for it, especially in the last few years of our administration. We've seen some graduation rate increases. That's something that I'm very, very proud of. I think it's gone up about 2% or 3%. We've spent $200 million to get that, roughly, just in terms of straight education increases. And the bottom line is, I think we need to also look forward and say, with this vote to spend $500 million more dollars, how statewide, what can we expect in terms of improvements in graduation rates and other relevant measures? Petersburg has done a great job. I've been in the schools there and met with the kids, met with the teachers and staff and administration. My wife has done the same. You guys did very well with Alaska Performance Scholarship recipients and the like. I've made a promise, too, that where there are one-time cost increases, like the cost of heating fuel, for example, throughout the cost of fuel in general throughout these our state has increased, I've said, we'll write a check for that. That's something we can measure and we can say needs to occur, and so we can write a check for that. But our state citizens really deserve more than just saying, trust us, we'll do a good job with it. I think it's okay to have school boards sitting at the table saying, if you give us $500 million across the next 6 years, we think we can improve graduation rates by X percent, and have them come forward and say that. It just makes sense to have that discussion.
Jim, I'll give you a quick opportunity here if you want to add something before we let you go.
Yes, and Governor, I guess the process is when we've been working with kids my whole life and trying to to set up goals are always a part of what we try and do to make sure that we can show our success. We've been dealing with No Child Left Behind for all those years, and that's been stepping up, and we have been able to show that through the No Child Left Behind process. I don't agree with that process necessarily, but I guess the difficulty with that is that if we have this discussion, the next you're going to have this discussion and these goals in the next before the end of the session, before you make a commitment. How are school districts going to be able to deal with that? And I guess the process is, if a bill does come through like SB 171, would you veto it?
Well, again, we're not to that point yet, Jim, and that's not the discussion I'm having at this point. We're all trying to be constructive here, and frankly, school districts know that every year that the K-12 education formula has been forward funded. That's something that I made sure of the last several years, including this year, with the legislature. When it comes to the base student allocation, every school district knows that even if that bill were to pass, that it would be at the end of session, so they're not going to be able to count on that until the end of session or know about that. I've already committed to increases, for example, for heating. We're also in discussion about pupil transportation and the like. So lots of components in motion, but the bottom line is we have a 90-day very public conversation in Juneau about education, and this is our opportunity to have that conversation, and I want to make sure that everybody's fully informed, that the public's money is spent wisely, and that our kids get the best education they can. I think we're all on the same page there.
Jim, thanks for calling in. Governor, just as Jim asked, it sounds like as far as vetoing or not vetoing House Senate Bill 171, mm-hmm. that's still a question you haven't answered yet at this point. Is that right?
That's correct, and that's something that I typically reserve till the very end, because there are lots of moving parts when it comes to education funding and education issues.
So you're still open for convincing one way or the other?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to ask you about a question that kind of occurs to me. I think that to a certain extent, average Alaskans or some average Alaskans, I think, wonder with $40 billion in savings and a potential proposal to cut some of the taxes, billions of dollars in taxes for oil companies to spur investment. I understand the reason behind it. Why the state needs to be or not needs to be, but why the state is struggling to meet certain needs that communities say they need, I guess.
Well, I think that's a great opener, and thank you for that opportunity, because we need to look beyond our shores. And if you look at what's happening in Europe right now with the European debt crisis, Greece is on the ropes along with several other countries. That will have, if one of those countries fails and the EU doesn't step up adequately and strongly, that will have a cascading effect on the United States. I went to Europe. I heard about the situation there. Nobody there believes that they're going to be able to get out of this without affecting the global economy. I see that coming. I also see our nation with a huge, huge debt addiction right now and spending addiction. I headed for potentially a second deep economic recession. The corporation heads that I speak to with operations around the world in all kinds of industries, from 3M to oil companies to others, they all are taking measures within their companies to restrain their spending, hold their cash, because they are very concerned about the global economy. I don't think we should be any less conservative with our spending. So coming back to these automatic increases, the formula increases, I do much prefer at this time in our history not to increase our formulas, but to pay as we go on a cash basis. I just think that's the prudent, responsible way to go. Our federal government is in trouble because of these automatic increases with Medicare, spending from our Social Security trust funds. I'm trying to do a pay-as-you-go approach and help Alaska live within our means, so that when times are tough again, as they will be, we're ready for it.
I wanted to ask, jump from state services to, well, like another state service, but specifically energy, draft plan commissioned by the Alaska Energy Authority looking at energy needs for Southeast has recommended against building an intertie connection to British Columbia, against building some of the costlier sections of the Southeast Alaska intertie, and it also recommends conversions to biomass energy like wood pellets to bridge the gap until new hydro projects can be built and brought online. What are your thoughts? Have you taken a look at the plan, or and what are your thoughts on some of its recommendations?
I have. You know, I got to tell you, with I think the executive summary itself is about 85 pages long.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
it's a pretty comprehensive and thick plan. And I think, you know, the struggle has always been how do we best take care of our communities and in what order? I mean, so I'd have to defer that and say, you know, for a full-on discussion of that, it might be good to get somebody like Sarah Fisher Goad, who's our head of our Alaska Energy Authority. But the bottom line is we focused in the last legislative session on energy, for example. We funded about $1.2 billion of energy and energy-related projects. And you're going to see energy being another focus this year when it comes to capital budget time. But in terms of the details of the IRP that was just done, I think we're going to have to get Sarah Fisher Goad in here since, like I said, the executive summary itself was 85 pages, and we're going to need somebody better equipped than I to talk about the ins and outs of that that particular plan.
Okay, well, we do have another caller. Hi, line one, you're on the air with the governor.
Hi, Governor. Thanks for this opportunity to talk with you directly. As a member of the public, I'm attempting to get information from state agencies. I'm noticing an abrupt change in the manner and ability of biologists to be able to speak freely and provide documents relevant to ongoing permitting processes. And I just wanted to ask you, has there been a directive by you to effect this change?
I have to figure out, you know, exactly what he's referring to. I can tell you that any fisheries management is based upon science. Any game management needs to be based upon science. The biologists who feel like they have been changed or anything, you know, like every governor before me, if statements of policy are issued, I want to know, and my office wants to know what those statements are going to be to make sure that they reflect the direction of this administration. And that has to do with making sure that science is adequately and fully interpreted and utilized. It has to do with making sure that the statutes and regulations are followed. So I know that some people like to freelance and say and do their own thing, but when it comes to representing the public, I'm held accountable by the public for the decisions that are being made and sent forward. And so if something does implement or try to set state policy, you're darn right that, you know, your governor and commissioners get held accountable for those. And we need to know what's being said and where. So the question, that's about what I'd have for a response at this point.
A directive. I think he was specifically asking if was there any directive, but maybe I'll just let the caller give a quick follow-up. Hi, go ahead.
Well, I think it's important that the public got to also be able to have access to the process by which, you know, your claim of freelancing biologists are actually happening. And I think it would be really important for, you know, state biologists to be able to explain the rationale to the public, and that this process really ought to be open and available.
Thanks, caller. Go ahead, Governor. Did you have a response?
Not too much more than I've already said. Look, for instance, the Board of Fish, Board of Game processes are open. Staff from each of the agencies come in, explain the rationale for their decisions. There's legal counsel there who explains on the record exactly the legal basis for the decision making. So, again, I think it's just a difference in view of what's happening. So,
okay. Any other questions for the governor?
Oh, thank you. That'll
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for calling in. And we just have a few minutes left here, Governor, and I wanted to touch on a couple other issues. One of the issues is a state's alternatives for a new Southeast transportation plan. Again, it's one of those plans. I'm not sure whether you've had a chance to look through some of the alternatives that they've been discussing since last fall when the preliminary plan came up. But one of the issues is they've talked about doing away with direct ferry service between downtown Petersburg and other towns. Instead, Petersburg passengers in one alternative at least would have to get to Cake via a proposed $160 million road or drive 25 miles south to southern Mitkoff Island to catch a boat. I know they haven't settled on anything. It's one of the things they've discussed last fall. Have you looked at all at this plan or any of these alternatives, and do you have any thoughts on at least on this idea of focusing more on the roads as opposed to actually having direct ferries to a community like Petersburg?
Well, I have had discussions with my Commissioner of Transportation and Public Facilities. His name is Mark Lucan, and also obviously with the Marine Highway System Director Newsom, and about the plan and about the entire ferry system. We're very clear, and they're very clear in my direction that the Marine Highway System is important to Alaskans and our communities. And so the evaluation that you're talking about is something that I would very much like those two to address within that context. And if you'd like to have them in the community or one of them in the community to hear concerns, I'm happy to make that happen as well.
All right. Also, in terms of transportation, the state's been pursuing Alaska class ferries, but my understanding is they're not set to serve like the Wrangell community, Central Southeast communities. Is your administration looking at putting more funding aside to replace the additional aging mainliners or other ferries that would serve the Central Southeast Alaska? Or are you open to pursuing or putting forward more funding for replacement of the aging system beyond just the Alaska class design?
We are, and we've had that discussion just in the last 2 weeks about what options are there, and including buying vessels or building them. If your listeners have any suggestions on what could be done on a cost benefit basis, we'd love to hear that. And that's something that Commissioner Lucan, Commissioner Mark Lucan of DOT, or the Marine Highway System Director Newsom should hear from the public on.
Okay, Governor, I think we're getting close to wrapping up our time here.
We're about out of time for me.
Yeah, is there anything you'd like to add before we let you go here?
No, I just sort of appreciate the opportunity to speak with some of your listeners and to answer your questions. I want to work like this to be open and accessible to you and the community of Petersburg and surrounding communities, certainly. Just know that we're at about, I guess, day 45 of the session, and we are working towards making sure that we can grow our economy and strengthen our families through multiple initiatives. You've touched on a number of them. I want to mention again the Choose Respect Initiative, Alaska Performance Scholarships, and obviously you haven't touched too much on our effort to increase oil production and create more private sector opportunity and for employment as well as state revenues for our infrastructure needs. But those are some of the key initiatives of our administration, and I just thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak with your listeners.
And Governor, thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk with you.
You bet. I hope to do it again. Thanks.